Welcome to the Bates Motel After Buzz After Show, episode 9. Chick's still dead. Norman's still crazy, and I'm very sad.
You're tuning into the destination for TV superfan discussion, After Buzz TV. And now, let the buzz begin.
Call me. Sing it, Flippo.
Irresponsible.
Yes.
Yes, I.
Never mind. Don't sing it, Flippo.
You sure?
I'm positive.
I feel it. I'm really feeling it.
Spare me. Welcome to the After Buzz After Show, Bates Motel, Season 5, the final season, Episode 9, the penultimate episode of the entire goddamn series.
Irresponsibly.
Flippo, what are we going to do?
I don't know, but God damn it, they make a good TV show.
They do. I'm Joe
They're
Braswell.
They're good at TV shows.
I'm Joe Braswell. I'm joined, as always. Actually, not as always.
No, but every now and again we get to
Every
hang
now
out.
And again by the great Joe Sanfilippo.
It's nice to be here with you guys.
It's just me and you. It's like 1999 all over again.
So good.
In the backseat of that car.
No, now it went sideways.
All right. I'm also joined, really as always, but not in person, by the lovely Julia Carley, who's on the line. Hi, Julia.
Hello, good morning, gentlemen.
Good morning.
What up, Julia Carley?
We're not joined by the lovely
Dua
Casey. She's not here. She will certainly be here next week for the finale. I think we all will try to be here. We almost did it. We almost got us all here.
Came close, and then it all fell apart.
Came close, yeah, but I'm glad to be here this time because, man, I love this freaking show.
They do such good TV shows. They make good TV
shows.
I
may or may not have shed a tear a couple times.
You cried?
Maybe.
Did you? Oh, you old softie.
I'm a softie.
Now, you cry at the drop. You're like one of those guys who cries at a Hallmark commercial. Let's be real. If there's a 30-second spot at Christmas time, you're sobbing. I know about you. You think, I don't know, you're Robert De Niro and Analyze This. You're falling apart on the bed because of the Hartford commercial.
Why are you so mean?
That's a producer on his game right there.
I'm an old softie, but I really felt the whole dilemma situation. It's also gosh darn heartbreaking. And Norman and Emma, you know, well, they're hold on Emma, but
spit it out, man.
Oh my God, yeah, Emma.
Okay,
I'm sorry. With her, I got lost here. What was her name? With her whole, you know, I'm just telling Norman I miss him. Anyway, great episode, great show. Big shocker last week when we saw the death of Chick, which you guys talked about.
And we did. How the show ended. We had it. We tried to do a South Park. Oh shit! They killed. It didn't work out.
Yeah, and
did
you
not
bastards,
work.
But they were. I saw it.
You didn't really express your intentions towards Dua and I just wanted us to read your mind as to what you wanted us to do.
I'm going to say a week later, I'm still incredibly disappointed in you, both of you.
You need rehearsals.
We'll rehearse it for the finale.
Yeah, apparently we need time to talk it through.
So, the thing that struck me about this episode the most is, and more so than any other episode, is not just what they've done with the storytelling and how we you know get into this point and how earned all this stuff is. The two things that struck me is, you know, we've always known that this wasn't going to be a happy ending for everyone. This is probably going to end really badly for most people involved. But actually sitting there and looking at the harsh reality of what's transpired over the last 5 seasons and the consequences of it for all these people we love, Dylan and Emma and Romero and even Norman and Norma to a certain extent, it's kind of heartbreaking. It's really weird to see the entire Bates Motel being swept by metal detectors and hazmat suits. And it also reminded me that we're in 2017. This isn't Psycho. Like, you know, when people get killed, we can CSI the shit out of this mug.
I want to go on record as having said, I did not know White Pine Bay had that many officers.
Yo.
Much less hazmat suits.
They bring them in.
I know. It's the state team.
Seattle. But, yeah.
But it was, that was an impressive maneuver. And you know what it does? You're right. It's like we've gotten this. You have this 5-season-long micro little world that exists in this little contained place. And you know we all know it's a set, but it's still this little world. And then to have it blown up like that,
right?
It really just it does. It's like turning the lights on in the club at 2 o'clock. You know,
yeah.
It's like, oh no, this place is filthy. You're so much older than I thought.
You have a beard. You were so hot.
Like, what happened?
Where does the beard come from? Julia, what were your first impressions of this? I mean, what did you think watching this episode?
Well, first of all, first of all, you were right. This is the most heartbreaking episode of all time, and reality is really setting in of the consequences of everything that we've lived through for the last five seasons. And the direness and depression that was just abounding in White Pine Bay in this episode was really, like, was really heavy. And you could really, like, feel it. You could taste it. And especially in that moment when Dylan is looking through photos on his phone and everything's so bright and soft lit. And then in the harsh reality of his really dingy motel room, and everything was dingy and dark and just really depressing.
Yeah, I mean, this is where the setting of the Pacific Northwest really sort of, like, takes hold. I mean, because it's a real, it could be a real gloomy place if you want it to be. And the, you know, when it's bright, it's bright. When it's gloomy, it's really gloomy. Especially when your brother killed a bunch of people.
They spent some money on some blue filters this episode. They were not stingy with the blue filter at all. Put some fucking blue on that.
There's some serious gloom. So I agree 100%. And just, you know, again, I said this a couple of weeks ago, and I'll say it again. I mean, I think that our boy Max Derridat, his acting, his reactionary acting, just watching his face.
Do you guys want to get? Are we ready to get into to the dilemma here? Do we want to? Because I want to get into the dilemma.
Well, let's just start with what we start with, which is I kind of want to start with just the beginning of the episode, which we see Norman getting his mugshot done, and it's like, it's just, I mean, again, I mean, our good friend Jody Walker mentions this in her EW piece, and it's so true. Like, watching, like, again, this, you know, having the delight of watching these two actors separately, you know, watching Freddie Highmore do his thing, and then watching Vera Farmiga do his thing, her thing, and then kind of what this season was, which is a little bit of both, them talking to each other. But now we have this great treat of, you know, Norman being completely gone. So this dual role we get to see there, they're splitting time, and you get to see Freddie Highmore as Norma, and you get to see Vera Farmiga as Mother, and all the same performance. It's, you know, it's really, really amazing. But the idea of seeing this her doing this mugshot and just, you know, being Norma the whole time, it was just amazing.
You know what? This show does a thing that I mean, so few shows can really pull this off. That is a small, unimportant scene.
Yeah.
Let's be real. It's you're getting your fingerprints done.
Right.
All it is putting your fingers on a scanner. Every other show will just, all that would be was a camera panning across once, part of a montage, and moving on. Yep. We don't need to spend time on this. Let's keep moving. They're like, no, let's make this a charming scene.
Right.
And we'll interrupt in the process. We'll bring in an actor who's going to keep it moving a little bit. Not a right index finger, left index finger. So we use this, little opportunities like this could be a wasted scene, could be a quick, could be quick somebody. They could have shot this a dozen different ways and gotten all the information out. But instead, they spend some time with it and really give us some more character time and some more, you get to see some more fun, just brilliant little finds within those scenes.
What I love.
It's also in those mundane moments that not only does Vera and Freddie have, like, a moment to shine, but it also shows, like, the levity for the character itself. It shows the levity and of the situation and the time that's passing in this situation.
Yeah, it's amazing. And what I really love, about this, Julia, too, is it also is an opportunity still, even in the most grim, dire circumstance. I mean, this is a sad episode. It's all coming down to this. It's still funny because we've spent so much time with Norma. Mother Norma, and even when my man is telling her, like, yeah, you're probably not going to the bail, and this is not looking good for you. And she's like,
I wouldn't bet on that.
What? Yeah. What? Like, her reactions are still, like, funny but sad.
And also reminds us that we talked about this over and over again, that you know, Mother is a construct. And it's a construct of a young man. And so it is great to see those moments where it's just a reminder, like, no, this is not Norma. This is not a woman in her early 40s with all of her faculties and all of her intelligence. This is a construct of a kid. And so there's those moments where she acts like a teenage girl. And I love that. Right. I just think that just, it's a quick little reminder, like, nah, this isn't her, man. This is a construct.
But also remember that Mother, the character of Mother, is a coping mechanism. So when you're put in this situation where there's really no way to cope and there's really no way out, and she's always the way that he gets out of things and acts out, she's literally restrained, and that's got to be so hard for the role of Mother.
Yeah, absolutely. And so but it's also, I'm still catching up to sort of the reality of where we are in the series. As I mentioned before, like, like, I mean, it's over. Like, I keep waiting for another shoe to drop or Norman to break out or Norman to be released on a technicality. Like, that ain't happening. Like,
well, at the risk of being argumentative, he got broke out.
Well, he didn't get broke out. But
he may not have wanted to leave.
He did not get broke out.
He got broke out good. Broke out real good.
But I don't think anyone in the town is like, he didn't do it, because there's a small
that's
part,
true.
There's a small part of me that thought like, oh no, they're gonna think Romero, they're gonna get a chick, and they're gonna think Romero did all the murders, or Romero put right. him up to it, or
nah.
they're a team. But like, they've got science, they've got DNA, they got CSI out there, for Christ's sake. And again, like, this is the reality of this thing that hit me, is that you've got, you know, the mugshot, and then you have this, the great shot of them, you know, combing the Bates Motel, you know, inside the house. I'm like, oh, yeah, it's over. They're not coming back in there. We're not seeing the kitchen. No one's dancing around.
Nope. Like, I think that'll be the last shot of the series, though.
I mean, they're in the cellar. My man's like, oh my god, they find chick.
I got you beat, man.
Like, I got you beat. She found the suitcase buried by the staircase. You know, like, it's, you know, they've you know what hasn't really paid off, like, thinking about when they're doing the search? The big hole. Remember
the swimming pool.
The pool?
Yes.
Yeah, the swimming pool. I was thinking the same thing.
I'm like, what's gonna happen? Like, what they find anyway. That's one. But anyway, So they did all that. I was very aware that this is maybe over and Norman may be in jail the rest of the time or on trial the rest of the time. And it made me wonder, are we headed for some big, you know, courtroom drama ending? Are we headed for, I mean, where's ending? But now we kind of know, because he got broked it out.
What'd got broked say? Out good.
Got broked out good.
Broked out real good.
Broked out good.
He got broked out. And props to Romero, by the way. We'll get to him in a second. This guy is relentless. This guy's a goddamn Terminator.
He's not in the fucking around business.
No.
Nope.
He's coming to get you.
What you selling there, Romero? Well, it's not fucking around. I'm not in the fucking around business.
He will not stop.
Nope.
God, Romero, I love that guy. Okay. So anyway, let's go back. You know else who I'm just now a just gigantic fan of and probably have a gigantic crush on is Julio Ramos.
Julio Ramos.
She's a bad bitch. She's bad.
Yeah.
She's a badass. I love her so much.
I love her.
She is the queen of is this a bad time?
I mean,
it doesn't get much worse than that time.
She's cool as hell. Anyway, so let's go back. So let's talk
In
about.
In fact, I love her so much. I am requesting that you all now call me Julia from now on.
Julia, it is.
We are joined by Julia Kelly.
Julia. I love her to pieces.
Because I want to be a badass bitch like her.
She's
You're going to have to put your ponytail on pretty goddamn tight.
She is that a is bad no joke.
Really tight.
Tight ponytail.
Tight that ponytail up!
Man, anyway. So, back to who's also... I was very happy and sad. Let's talk about Dilemma. So
Dilemma. You
know, Dylan's in there. He's in the hotel room. He's trying to figure it all out. He's got a busted head. And what knocks on the door is his beautiful wife.
She didn't knock on the door. They met in the parking lot.
That's
but
right, whatever.
But standing in the snow, she rolls up. You know what I loved about Emma this episode? I mean, she's morphed into, she's no longer the girl carrying the oxygen tank. She's no longer any kind of a victim. But that character is, she's so strong. She sees everything so clear-eyed.
Yep.
And there's no sense of victim. There's no sense of anything but a clear-eyed woman who knows who she is, knows what she's worth. And when she has that moment with Dylan, I'm not sure if we're going to make it through this.
Yeah.
I can't promise you that. And that is a clear-eyed, I felt so much like, number one, I felt so much empathy for her. But number two, she meant it.
Well, to that point, I read somewhere, one of the recaps or somewhere I read or some comment thread of like, you know, how much Emma's changed, how much she's evolved. And actually, she hasn't. She's always been super, super strong. She's always been super inquisitive, right. Super grounded, and finding her way through this whole thing. And now just seeing her, you know, Elizabeth Cook grown up and as a woman and fully realize that she's stronger than ever, as strong as she's been. And damn it, like I said before, get her down there. She'll crack this thing wide open. Where's Emma? She will crack this case. So get Emma out. Send Sheriff home. Get Emma down there, and she'll bust this thing wide open. And I'll be damned. When Emma showed up, I'm like, oh, here we go. This thing's getting blown open.
Can we talk briefly about Dylan just by himself?
Yes, but Julia, did you have any initial thoughts when you saw Emma show up? Like, were you like, oh, shit? Or were you like, yes? What did you think?
No, well, I agree with what you're saying, because she's always been the voice of reason. She's always been clear-eyed. She sees through everything. She sees through all the bullshit, and she takes steps that are appropriate.
Yeah.
She leads with her head rather than her heart.
Yes.
Which I've always loved
Very
about
well
her.
Said.
But she is open-hearted, and she's caring at the same time, but she's pragmatic and she's practical.
Yes.
I mean, she's the only one who even sees through Norman in that last scene, where she sees through the multiple personalities and knows that it's not the Norman, her friend, that she knows and loves. But she's the only one who really has a concept of what's happening, ever.
Yeah, and so just in that moment when she, I totally agree, that's all extremely well said, Julia. I think that, I think that, also in that first sort of moment where Dylan has to tell Emma, you know, listen, they found your mother's body, and we're pretty sure it's Norman. And her reaction, and that's also broke my heart, her like collapsing reaction and her that stuff. And then even the moment where she says, listen, you know, it's not your fault. You didn't bring Norman into her life. And I thought that, I'm like, oh yeah, that's right. Cause I thought like, oh my God, she's going to blame, you know, going to blame Dylan because his brother. But actually she knew Norman before
pragmatic.
She knew Dylan. Yeah.
No, but she is blaming Dylan because Dylan is Dylan's fucking up. Dylan's zigging when he should be zagging. And there were like four key moments, I think, within their little arc where Dylan made, like, you made the wrong choice, my man. Like, yeah. Like, well, here's the thing. I think we talked about this weeks ago. If Dylan and Emma look back, they're going to turn into pillars of salt.
Right.
I mean, there's no, it's Sodom and Gomorrah. It's Lot and his kid. I mean, that's where it's at right now. And Dylan is looking back, and you can see the way they're shooting him. He's ashen. He looks like he's dying. I mean, he's skinny. He's quiet. He doesn't have any. There's no deliberateness to him.
Right.
There's just, he's lost. He doesn't know which way to go. He's they're shooting him from angles that make him look small and confused. And none of that's an accident. This show doesn't make accidents. So they make choices. And so to me, Dylan is he's being set up as this ultimate tragic character who's going to be destroyed because he's chosen to not choose. I mean, essentially, right? He's done the thing. I'm going to take care of you, brother. Don't worry, brother. But when faced with it, when Emma rolls up and it's all up in his face now, because at that point he didn't know that he killed that Norman had killed Emma's mom. And so when the sheriff comes and drops that on him, then he has that time to make that choice. What are you going to do when Emma shows up? Which way are you going to go? Emma shows up, and then they have this moment where they're still together, and then Julia Ramos shows up. In the mother of all bad timing, is this a bad time? Yeah, Julia, it's a bad fucking time.
It's a bad time,
And instead of sticking with it, you know, he says, you know, listen, you have your money. I don't want anything to do with this. I just told my wife that her mother's dead and blah, blah, blah. And Emma is on his team still. She says, Norman did it. Your job's got harder. I hope you're happy with that. And then instead of backing her and saying, you know what, Julia, we're out, and closing the door, he waits, and Julia says, well, I need you to come out. I need to talk to you. You're all the family he's got. Sometimes being in the family sucks. I need you to be there behind him, blah, blah, blah.
Great scene.
And Emma ducks out. Emma's like, you know what? Fuck you then. I'm going in the bathroom, and I'm not sure. I'm rethinking my whole life now.
Well, I'm okay. Well, I
think that's what...
Go ahead, Julia.
I agree completely with you there.
I don't agree completely either, but go ahead, Julia. You go first.
Tell me why I'm wrong.
I think that Dylan, it may seem like he's fucking up, but it's an impossible choice.
I agree.
It's choosing between family versus family. And in that scene with Madeline where she says, you must have known you're his brother, he's guilt-ridden. He knows that he's the reason that his mother is dead, but he knows that, like, he has no choice to make. It's impossible.
Well,
he has to be there for his brother. He has to be there for his family. And the one moment that really killed me was when Emma says, I can't tell you what to do about your family.
Well, here's the thing.
Sort of implying that maybe we're not as much of a family as I thought.
And that's the mistake he's making, I think, as a character. That's what makes him tragic. And the irony is that Norma and Norman never had his back.
But
they never chose him.
But here's the thing.
They never chose him. That's fine.
I don't know. Back to, you know, Julia's point about, you know, Emma's pragmatism and being so pragmatic. I don't think that she expects... I don't think she's asking him directly to make a choice between me and
the baby. No, but she expects him to make a choice.
I don't know, because before he's already made that choice. He left his family. He effed off to port to Seattle. Like they're up there doing a thing. He's back, and like she says, everything she says is again like is just pragmatic as hell. She says, "Listen, you know, like I don't know if we're gonna make it through this. I can't promise you that. You know, please don't talk to me about having sympathy for Norman again. If I lay his eyes on him, I might kill him." She's pretty clear eyed about what's going on, and even when she says, "You know, I don't, you didn't bring me into his life. He was so sweet when I met him." Like. These are all, she's having her own sort of, you know, reality to this. And even when Julia confronts her, just, I don't know, you ever have your brother-in-law kill your mom?
No.
Great line. She's like, oh, I think Dylan, Julia, you're right. Dylan is in an impossible situation. And frankly, the guilt that he's saddled with one way or another, it's like, if there were no, if there were no Katie, is that the baby's name? What's the baby's name?
Katie.
Yeah, if there are no Katie or Emma, I don't know that Dylan would survive this. It's just, you know, it's so much guilt, and you know, for his little brother and someone and everything else. I don't know, but I don't think he's making the wrong. I don't think that Emma is mad at him. I don't think he's making the wrong choices. I think there's no choice to make, and the chips are going to sort of fall where they may.
Let me ask you a question.
Yeah.
Also, because of her pragmatism, though, I think she realizes. In her head, not necessarily her heart, if it hadn't been her mother who had been murdered, she'd be standing at the trial behind Norman as well.
Let me ask you guys a question. Did you feel like when she left that following morning, like she goes through the funeral parlor, which we should talk about because the right. casting of the funeral mm-hmm. was, I mean, the funerary, the little redheaded people in the funeral, they were brilliant. I love that
the
casting.
The funerary?
Yeah.
The funeraries?
I don't think that's a word, but I was going to say
the funeraries.
You know, the funerary peoples. I loved the funeral parlor people that they cast. I thought that was so terrific.
I couldn't, because they were such incredible, amazing characters. That I had to check. This is the first time we've seen them?
I think it is. And
No, it's not.
It's not.
Haven't we seen them before?
We saw the girl before, right?
Yeah, I feel like we've seen them.
I think
like,
we saw the girl.
Was it Norma's funeral or was it before that?
I don't remember. I know we've seen them before.
We have seen them before.
Internet, tell us where we saw them because we forgot.
They are amazing and they are begging, screaming for their own show.
Don't they? Wouldn't it be phenomenal fun?
In the White Pine Bay spinoff I've been begging Carrie Aaron to do this whole time. In White Pine Bay, the series, they're the stars.
Oh my God.
It's like another, what's the HBO show? Yeah, the funeral parlor one.
I don't know. Oh, 6 feet under.
Yeah,
they're terrific, and I loved what's your economics. I don't know what your how much money you got, bitch. Like that's right. Like I just love the way that they go down that line. And the cremation's more economical, yeah. But this was your mother, wasn't it?
Yeah, I think you might have dated the girl before.
What's that?
I think you might have dated.
She looks about my speed. Wait, are you crazy? Yes, you look a little messed up. Are you mad at your dad? I am. Do you wear stockings like the Wicked Witch of the East? Ding, sold.
I'm Joe Flippo, on demand for you. Anyway, we digress.
Anyway, terrific. I love that scene, and I love the way they played it out. And Emma, clear-eyed the entire time. And wait, you guys did Norma. Where's Norma? Let me go find Norma, because she was my mom for reals.
Yeah.
And goes and sees Norma. But then the scene where she's in the funeral party. And we've gone through this a number of times with family, with cremations, because that's the way I like it. I've never been in the room where they go ahead and cook anybody up.
Small town.
Small town. I guess you get to kick it there.
Yeah.
But clear-eyed, watching, clear-eyed.
It'd be kind of hot in there.
What's that?
It'd be kind of hot.
I don't know, I guess.
Okay. You have a glass of water.
Cook somebody.
A glass of water?
Yeah, maybe? Something.
All right.
Would you like a bottle of water while we cook your mom? Then her shot over, when she went to spread the ashes by herself. Last thing I want to say about this.
Yeah.
I've done some ash spreading in my time. That was smooth.
Yeah.
No back wind, no ashes back in the face.
Yeah, man. You gotta find the right spot.
You gotta know where you're going.
Yeah. Beautiful shot, by the
way.
Beautiful
gorgeous.
Shot.
Gorgeous. Much more than mom deserved.
Again, shooting in the Pacific Northwest is great. They can find these wonderful locations and things like that.
But when she comes back from all that, back to the hotel, which was the original point I was trying to make.
Wait, but I just want to say this. So I know that I was really heavy on this in season 4, maybe 3, whatever this was. So the mother's dead, right?
Mm-hmm.
Because I remember I kept saying, she's not dead. Maybe she's alive. I think she's dead. Because we saw the ashes go.
So you feel confident at this point?
I can finally say.
Well, you never saw the body.
But true, never saw the body, which is my thing. But I can now say the mother is dead.
I appreciate you, Joe.
I want to just
so Emma returns back to the hotel. At that point, the creepy hotel with the red light that's flashing in this bizarre.
Yeah,
nobody's gonna close the blackout blinds.
Come on,
okay,
your curtains, man.
And by the way, if I'm cruising around, because in White Pine Bay, get a non creepy motel in this month.
I'm sure there is one.
Is there like a nice? Is there
like
a
such thing as a non creepy motel though?
I mean, you guys got
a fair point.
You guys got a Hilton or a Hyatt in there?
They need like an extended stay America. Something nice.
I got a Howard Johnson's.
You know, I'm fairly well convinced there is no Four Seasons White Pine. I need some orange and blue to make me feel good. There is no Howard Johnson in White Pine Bay, apparently. There's creepy hotel and creepy motel. She comes back into that room, and I feel like she's done. And she climbs into bed with Dylan. That felt like a goodbye to me. And he they're holding each other
a
little
bit.
I got a whole thing. They're holding each other in bed. She says, what does she say to him? I'm going back tomorrow. I'm going back home. And he says, I understand. What he should have said, I'm going with you. But he didn't. He says, I understand. Then he says, I went to the hearing. And she says, I understand. And then he goes, Emma. And she goes, let's not talk about it. I don't know yet. And
this is spoken like a man has been married for a long
time. 15 years. I will tell you the spots where Dylan fucked the fight up.
Mistake.
Here's where you fuck up if you're married. Number one, if your wife says she needs to go do something important and you don't go, you fucked up. Even if she says, I want to go by myself, your answer is, I don't think that's a good idea. And you go anyway. This is how being married works. Jackasses all over the planet. Let me help you. If she says to you, I'm going to go deal with my mother's funeral arrangements by myself, you don't say, I get it. No. You go, the fuck you are. I'm going to. I will help you.
And then when she comes home and she says, I'm going home.
You say, we'll go home tomorrow. And then you don't say, I went to the hearing. And you forget to say, but I bailed halfway through. I didn't sit behind him. I didn't do all this shit Julio Ramos wanted me to do. I just ducked in, and then I realized I was crazy. And then the blonde chick that looks like mom yelled at me, and I left. And I felt really bad,
Fair enough.
I got to bounce out.
Fair enough. Julia, I haven't heard from you in a minute. What say you?
I actually agree with Slippo that it felt like a goodbye.
Yeah.
It felt like a last tender moment. Nothing will ever be the same. Nothing will ever be as it was. So let's just have some quiet times, a little quiet time together, touching, and it's sad, but I'm out, and this is over.
Didn't that feel that way?
It just can never be the same.
Yeah.
Well, let's go back a little bit before we run out of time here. I want to go back and talk about the sort of the hearing, and actually I want to talk about, you know, Julio Ramos talking to Norman, and I'm talking to Norma, I should say, talking to Mother about this is what you have to do, and this sort of realization. I mean, Mother Norma's not having it at all. And at some level, she's got to understand, she's like, well, I didn't do it. I don't know. Well, do something. Yeah, do that. Whatever it is.
Right.
And she's like, listen, you know, your choices are, you know, spend the rest of your life doing hard time, get the needle, or spend the rest of your life in a crazy house. Either way, it's bad. Your quality of life is better over here. By the way, those are horrible choices. But I guess that we can kill people.
Horrible choices.
I mean, you know,
don't
kill anybody.
What's the third option? Well, we've got this bed and breakfast you can live in.
Yeah, exactly.
Lovely couple and make your breakfast every morning.
I don't know. I don't know what Norma is expecting, but like I think Julia Ramos lays it out pretty well for
and,
her.
And we got to keep in mind that for the construct, taking the medicine is essentially a death sentence, right? So,
So
you get the needle
if you
go to prison and get the needle, but if you go to the loony farm, you're going to take the pill.
Yeah, so Norma's
that's
trying to survive here.
Yeah,
Norma's
the construct
like,
knows she's going to get gone.
She's going to get gone either way. Then the other thing is like you know the trial itself. So the hearing itself was actually really quite amazing because I keep expecting something, the other shoe to drop or something to happen, but like they've got him. They've got him dead to rights. There's no smoking gun to get him out.
Mm-mm.
You know, there's nothing happening here. They've got the state's got a pretty good case against him. Sheriff's got him locked up. So I didn't know what was going to happen. I thought Dylan was going to say something. Dylan didn't even go sit behind him. She sat in the back.
But she didn't tell Emma. Dummy.
Didn't tell Emma. He had the confrontation with Madeline, which I thought was
so good,
so good and painful. She's like, you know, he had me fooled for 2 weeks. Like you knew. Like, I mean, that's the guilt, like you said, Julia, the guilt on his face, man. God.
Pillar of salt, man. He's just falling apart. He's dying.
Meanwhile, my man Romero, fresh off of killing Chick, is on his way back. He's out of gas. He's got the 68, whatever the
car. Or 69. We don't know. Yeah. Guy with the hat eventually went, yeah, it's a 68. Yeah. Fuck it, I'm out.
You see the look on his face. He's like, it's a 68, pal. Hey, whatever you say, buddy. Crazy looking man. You know
what? I'm sure you're right. I'm going to go.
Yeah, and that's clearly...
Where did you get that credit card? Was that Maggie's credit card?
It had to be Maggie's, right?
Maggie's credit card. We had that beautiful shot of the security camera from the point of the POV of the security camera. So this must mean that...
We know.
People... Romero's not going to make it out. I mean, look, Romero's going to die, right?
But, you know...
Well, I mean, there's no making it out for Romero now.
That scene with Maggie. He had that, like, that heroes out scene.
Is he gonna get to Montana?
No, you know what that felt like to me. You remember Hunt for Red October?
Yeah.
When they're stealing the sub and
spoiler
and,
alert.
His first officer, the guy from Jurassic Park. Mm-hmm. He's talking about where he wants to go in the U.S. He says his XO. He says, I want to go to Montana.
Yeah.
He says, he's beautiful in Montana.
Yeah.
You know that he's never going to see Montana. He gets shot. He's dying in the whole thing. And this is the same thing with Romero. Like, Maggie, he gives him that hero's last chance.
Yeah.
Like, I know you're broken. I can live with you broken.
Oh, sad.
We can go to Montana. We can, and you know, you can just see, and again, small character. You could have half-assed it with this, but they didn't. You see that this woman who nursed him back to health, of course she developed the whole fantasy.
Again, my heart's breaking.
She developed a storyline.
Oh, yeah. My heart's breaking 1,000 pieces.
Right?
I know you're broken, Alex.
I know you're broken. I know you love Norma. I know I'm not as beautiful or whatever. You can see all that on her.
Yeah.
But we can live this way. We can do this. And you know that she saw it. You know that she planned it.
Yeah,
and it's not going to happen.
And Alex is like, deuces.
Yeah.
I'm out.
All right, I'm going to go. Bye.
I got to go.
Oh,
well, rip. So yeah, it's very sad. So Alex goes. He's got to do what he's got to do. That scene where he sort of takes over the sheriff station was pretty badass as well. I mean, it's a guy who knows it. Take it easy, Julia. Take it easy. Mm-hmm. Relax over there. Relax.
I love him.
Yeah, I mean, it was pretty sexy. I admit, like, he busts in. He does his thing. He knows the terrain. He knows what these guys are doing. He has to shoot my man in the arm.
I thought we were going to get in my office.
I love when he says, get into my office.
Yeah, get into my office.
And then he sees the elliptical and he's like, the fuck?
Yeah, the elliptical. all that was dope. And
I'm glad he didn't kill the black guy, because I was like, all the flash in my head was another brother down.
ABD. Now, remember, I was like, he's a crack shot.
He's not going to miss.
He gets them all, he gets the whole force in there, the sheriff's out, which is setting up a wonderful confrontation between the sheriff and Romero, which is also what I want to see. That's going to be a great piece of acting there in the finale, the sheriff.
My prediction about that is going to be, it's going to be very much Harrison Ford in the tunnel with
Tommy Lee Jones.
Tommy Lee Jones.
I don't care.
I didn't kill my wife!
I didn't kill my wife!
I don't care.
Yes.
I don't
care.
We'll see about that. So, yeah, he takes my girlfriend, Julia Ramos, gets in the car, takes Norman, and...
No, he doesn't take Julia Ramos, he takes Regina.
Pay attention, Joe.
Oh, you're right. I'm so sorry.
He takes his secretary whoever she is.
You're right. I'm so sorry. He does. And they drive off, take me to Norma.
Take me to the body.
Take me to the body.
Take me to her body. I also love that moment, though, when he does storm in and he sees Norman for the first time and he's circling around his little cell.
How you doing, Norman?
And he pushes all the all the cops in there. He goes, get out. He goes, nope, I'm going to stay put.
It's so Norma. Norma's like, I'm not going anywhere.
You know what's great, though? The sheriff
pushing him out was hysterical, too.
They're like, I ain't going down for you, kid, you little bastard. Get out.
What's interesting, I'm very interested to see the mother Norma and Sheriff Romero interaction, because obviously Norma really loved Romero and Romero loved Norma, but through the filter, the sort of the funhouse mirror of Norman's brain, Norma doesn't like Romero. So I wonder if she's gonna be talking to him. Yeah,
yeah.
It's like, well, I know you love me, but I don't love you. I love my son or whatever.
Yeah, it's gonna be some shit. I think you're right.
Who knows? And I wonder what. I wonder how when Romero sees how sick Norman is, and he sees that he's talking to Norma, how he's gonna react to that.
I would toss out that he's not going to give a shit.
And is he going to be able to kill Norma?
Let the bodies hit the floor.
Is he going to be able to kill a sick kid? Is he going to be able to kill Norma?
I don't think he's going to bat an eyelash.
Is this going to be the hesitation that gets him shot? We're in predictions now. Let's go to predictions. Let's go to predictions.
And now, your AfterBuzz TV predictions.
Yo, so I don't know what the F is going to happen, but I do predict. I'm going first for once, Julia. You're always going first.
Okay.
I do predict there's going to be some showdown at the body, and the idea, I think there's something to do with the idea of Norman and Romero seeing Norma's body is going to have a dramatic effect on both of them. I don't know if Norman's going to snap out. I don't know if we will see. I mean, whatever it is going to be dramatic as hell. Maybe a fight between Norma and Norman again. Maybe, who knows? But maybe there'll be a sympathetic moment where Norman says, "I'm so sorry, I'm sick," and they let him go. I have no idea what's going to happen. I predict Norman is not going to die. Norman's going to survive this thing, end up in a mental institution, and our final scene of the series will be very similar to the final scene of Psycho.
All right, here's what I got. Dilemma is over. She cannot tolerate where he's at. I think the incompetence and the weakness that he's showing right now is you know, there's some things that certain people can't tolerate in their partner. And I think that him right now being so weak and so ineffectual and not being able to make decisions, I think that's something she can't tolerate. So I think they're done. I think I don't know if Dylan survives or not. I really don't know. But either way, even if he survives, he'll be a hollowed out shell of himself, which is, again, ironic because they couldn't have given a shit about him. And he's going to go down for them. I think that last shot, all I can predict about the scene when they get to the body, here's my prediction. The last shot of the show is going to be a crane shot pulling up. Norman, Romero, and Norma are all going to be dead in the snow. And then it's going to cut to Norma and Norman dancing in the kitchen in their minds. Mind dance. That's how I would end the series.
A mind dance.
Like they're dead, sounds but like, they're dancing in the kitchen.
Yeah, sounds like
that's what I see.
Sounds like a club we went to the other day.
It wasn't good.
Julia, what do you think?
Okay, so I have two. The first, in regards to what's going to happen with Romero and Norman and Norma's body, I don't know how it's going to go down, but I have this vision of Romero looking at Norma's body in the snow with, quote, Norma or mother talking to him at the same time, and like couple that with his recent delusions of Norma in the house. I think it's just going to be too much for him to handle. I think there's going to be a little murder-suicide, and they're all going to be dead in the snow.
You think he'll kill Norman and he'll kill himself?
Yes.
I think he might do a death by cop thing, but I agree with you. I think he might do a point the gun at the sheriff and see what she does.
I think Dylan might be the last one standing, but you have to remember that there's a shit ton of mental illness that runs in his family, and he's going to lose everything. He's going to lose Katie. He's going to lose Emma. He's going to be left with absolutely nothing. In his despair, he's going to be forced to move back into that big old house.
No.
And he's going to be taken over by the hauntingness of that house, and he's going to become the new Norman.
No! So, oh, that would be terrible. Yeah.
Don't say it.
Oh, so he starts seeing mother? Oh, that's horrible.
I love that.
Oh, Julia, I hope you're wrong, but that's pretty good.
Pretty good, right?
That's strong. I
pretty
like that.
Pretty good, right?
Ooh, that's very good.
It's very good. All right. Well, that's a lot. We have a lot for the finale. A lot to dig into. A lot to talk about. A lot to see next week. We'll be back to do all of that. Julia, where can the kids find you?
Kids, you can find me on Instagram and on Twitter with my name, Julia Carely, JULIACEARLEY.
Flippo?
You can find me on the Twitters at Joe Flippo, JOEFLIPO.
And I'm Joe Braswell. You can find me on Twitter and Instagram at Joe K. Braswell. Thank you very much for joining us. Duas on the Twitters at Dua Casey, right?
I think so.
Okay. And we'll all be here next week for the season finale.
Series finale.
Oh, of Bates Motel. Wonk, wonk. We'll see you next week. Bye-bye.
From executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV network. To watch or listen to other after shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
Buzz you later.
Buzz you later.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.